Revenue Committee will meet again today. I'm sure everyone on the committee has thoroughly digested all of the material from yesterday on property taxes and is absolutely conversant on compression, urban renewal, and everything like that. So, having said that, we're ready to go. Mr. Malik will educate us on the lottery. And so, without further ado, Mr. Malik.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Mazen Malik, Legislative Revenue Office. I will do a quick presentation for you to give you a flavor of the Oregon lottery and revenue mainly, and then following my presentation, Dale Penn, Director of Oregon State Lottery, will be also presenting to you. So I'll try to go as quickly as possible. And Oregon State Lottery, of course, the first thing many people would like to think of when they think of the lottery is celebration when they win. And this is, of course, my nexus to alcohol taxes, as you know. So, but you don't have necessarily all that luxury with from putting this aside. We'll talk quickly about terminology in order to be able to distinguish the different flavors of terminology that we use. Also a little bit about history, then net proceeds, if we call both the traditional and the video lottery. Talk about transfers a little bit, and then quickly touch on issues, and quickly touch on those because it will be a lot more expanded on by Dale's presentation. Now, the lottery terminology, first thing we'll have to talk, of course, about revenue. And revenue comes from basically two sources: game revenue, and then the other revenue, which includes interest and unclaimed prizes. Of course, prizes, and then net receipts. And those are important to remember when we're talking about net receipts, that they're game revenue less prizes. This is not less expenses. So net receipts out of that definition. And then when we get to expenses, of course, the expenses of the game, expenses of operation, and what's known as a contingency reserves. In that sense, we get to net proceeds, which will be net receipts that we've defined up here, minus the expenses. Those are the different term for the one that we would look at. Now, quickly on the lottery history, there is a very long and extensive history that you could find on the web page of the lottery. However, a few things that need to be remembered. 1984 was a creation of the lottery by initiative petition. Those were traditional games, net proceeds dedicated to economic development. In 1989, legislative action created sports action lottery and authorized video lottery. However, it was suspended by the governor in 1989. I believe the governor at that time was Neil Goldschmidt. Legislative action of 91 reintroduced, though, reauthorized the video lottery and also prohibited all private lotteries and dedicated 2.5% of net receipts to counties, also in the function of economic development, but on a county basis. 95, the Measure 21 added financing public education as an allowable use, gave lottery bonds first claim on revenue, and dedicated 15% of net proceeds to the Education Endowment Fund. This later to change. 98, by the initiative petition measure 66, 15% was dedicated to parks, beaches, and watershed protection. To continue on the theme of history, 99 legislative action dedicated no less than 1% to problem gambling, and then finally in the 2002 third SS only refers to special session, and many, as Representative Hess the other day indicated, that it was what, six special sessions that he have served in. This also converts the Education Endowment Fund into the Education Stabilization Fund, and lottery dedication increased conditionally if the fund, which is the stabilization fund, that's a condition is less than 5% of the general fund, then 18% to the Education Stability Fund. Else, if it's 15%, or 15% goes to school capital matching sub-account. And the other point, it will allow appropriation of principal and conditional on a fee-fifths vote. Okay, now history is done. So you know I'm a history buff, yeah? Net receipts, and remember the net receipts as we have defined them, they come from when you look at the type of gains, you would see that where these gains generate instant tickets still 34%. And total of that, we're talking about 127.43. Now remember, we're not talking about expenses being taken out yet. This is revenue minus prizes. Now, I didn't want to do that. Okay, I want it. Now, we turn to the green color, which means we're talking about revenue, money. Traditional game revenue, as it comes in net revenue, prizes, and expenses. And if you see that there is some kind of pattern with these things, the envelope changes with time. The segment that is prizes seems to be climbing the fastest between all. The additional traditional game revenues, if you look in percentages, forget about the growth of the revenue itself, but consider the percentages that we we're looking at. Again, you see the net revenue going in one direction, expenses staying very stable in many ways, but the envelope that is bigger as actually being prizes. Now, we go to the second stage, the video lottery. This slide is not in your handouts, but I thought it would do well as well. The video lottery revenue, it was started in 91. When it first started, you would see that the expense was slightly higher than when you would see it at the end. That is normal because of starting costs and the like. And these are the amounts in white that we're looking in net revenue. Remember, the prizes, again, still constitute 90-some percent of all revenues. The lottery revenue in percentages, just to make it equivalent to the other slide we've seen, shows about the same picture with different percentages. Now, if we put both types of games together and you look at the total lottery revenue, and with the introduction of the video, you see the steep increase in revenue as before that was not as significant as once that started picking up. and just to also examine it in a way of percentages. This is, I thought, is totally a telling picture. Now, remember, the numbers we've seen in the previous slide showed revenue to be very tiny and small, but when you look at percentages, this is how and when the turn came, as in the video, and when prizes became a very significant part. The other significant thing to watch for is once the 91 introduction of video, that expenses as total, as a percentage of revenue, have shrunk. And that is truly by design. The lottery is capped at 16% of revenue for that expenses. But the video lottery seems to have a lot lower percentage of expense. Therefore, the denominator of expense gets lower with that. Lottery transfers in millions of dollars. The colors became more numerous in these years than was previously. Remember the different historical events that we've talked about when it was all dedicated to economic development, and then we started seeing some bonds. Parks and Recreation came here, and the county's share has been almost steady. And then others, this is like the gambling and the state fair and so on. But as you see also, just to make a point about the bonding, the yellow color here, how it started getting more and more of the total amounts. Now we go back to the less green color, because we'll talk about the distributions. In the 03-05 biennium, this is the biennium that we're still in today. We have not finished the 03-05 biennium. Lottery distributions of about 719 million. Revenue bonds at 17%. This is as it becomes more significant part of lottery. Parks and Recreation 16%, Education Stability at 19%, and what we call everything else that is legislatively legislative appropriation, or the balance left for legislative appropriation is.
Mr. Chair, would you entertain a question?
Yeah, Representative Boquist.
Mr. Frank, for that previous slide at 718 million is distributions, can you just give me the same figure, total revenue for that same period?
Yes.
I know we have a pie chart, some charts, but is there a 2003-2005 total revenue that I can pencil in next to that 718 million?
If I can find it immediately here, remember the magic bestseller that we have previously distributed to you, the 05 public finance packet would have lottery numbers. I could immediately pull lottery revenues net revenue will be about 600 and let me see, gross revenue about 1.8 billion of gross revenue, 8.133 in 02-03, 8.6 in 03-04. Of course, 04-05 is still in the books today. So, talking about 1.7 billion, that's how much revenue at the beginning. This is before you take prizes and so on out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Boquist.
Now, Mr. Chair, the issues that, and those issues are not necessarily by included by what we will have this session or the previous session, but issues that continue to come as questions people keep asking and inquiring about. And these issues about the line games, and probably will be something We'll hear much more from Director Penn about. I will not get too much into it. However, let me caveat that statement in a few minutes. Percentages, as we've seen in the previous slides, detailed compensation, that has also been talked about more and more every year. Lottery expenses also, too. Now, line games, I don't have current estimates, but at the time that we were looking at them back in 2002, I was, this is what I was able to pull from the records, nothing new that I could give you at this point. But I'm sure that there's also a lot more information on this from the director. The point of the bullseye here is just to illustrate that might not be as easy to get in between these two numbers as one would like. So strategically put it between the two bienniums, and I hope the symbolism is evident here. Okay. Video prize percent. Now, that's starting at one point from the 88.5%, and if you go all the way to the 90-some, that has been an issue that many have asked about, of how big and why, and is that the right thing, is it not? These are all things that are efficient to talk about and, I believe, discuss. Annual growth is also an important thing to see. Prizes, if you put these things in an annual growth type of chart, you see that prizes have gone up until 1999, then the growth and then have stabilized. That is a little different than when you look at both gross and net. And you could see net is increasing, this is percentage increase, but now it is increasing at a decreasing rate. We love these things in economics, increasing at a decreasing rate or decreasing at an increasing rate. But it's something to ponder, I guess, every once in a while, and see, you know, try to examine why. Now, the video compensation rates, the old rates that used to be, were basically four levels. Up to $200,000 in sale, that's a 35%. $200,400 is 30, and $400 to $600, and then once you're over $600,000, you're at 20%. That's what, how much you get as of your sales as a retailer. So if you're in a place where you're doing $1 million, $1.5 million, you're keeping 20%. Because that 20% naturally is a big number. Now, the average of these, or the weighted, would be about 32%. Now, the new video compensation rates, these were in 2004, March, I believe, that were approved by the commission. There's actually two levels, or two choices that are possible. The three-tier option, which gives up to $175,000, 32.5. Then 175 to 475 at 26, and the 475,000 and above at 17%. You would see that those are different than the structure that used to be. Now, the second option that a retailer could take is either up to 650,000, you pay 20, or you keep 26, or 650 and keep 19. Now, estimated overall blended rate is 28 to 29%. What that means, at the time of the estimate, the blended rate is about 28.8%. And to date, through December, I believe, lottery reports sees it so far at 30.3. This could be a function of transitioning of retailers. Now, each retailer has a choice.
Representative Riley?
Yeah, I wanted to ask one question. Are there any different rates for different types of organizations, or if you have a 401c3, are there any discounts on those, or does everyone have the same rate?
Chair Galizio, Representative Riley, that's a very good question. I don't know if nonprofits have any preference, but I could probably be mistaken, and I have coming just right after me somebody who could give you the final answer, but I don't think there is any preference, because this is a state type of so that with the rate be, I don't think legally it should be.
Mr. Chair, a question if you would please.
I think Vice Chair Berger had a question, and then Representative Boakley.
You may not have the answer to this, but I will pose the question, and then Mr. Penn might have the answer later. I don't think like a retailer in this industry, and so I'm wondering what the decision points for the retailers are on whether they go to Tier 3 or Tier 2. And so at some point, I'd kind of like just a one-liner on that. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and Vice Chair Berger, the one thing I know about these you could choose as a retailer. Now, that probably depends on your preference. Now, I wanted to leave this compensation issue altogether out, but this is just for an economist, just like preventing a child from opening candy. So I'm just going to give you a quick kind of analysis here. Retailer compensation could be thought of in two different ways. One view of it that is probably many people would think about is, okay, you have this gross revenue coming. It's always here. The $450 million that comes in will always come in. And you have these retailer compensation rates. You go and try to negotiate your rate. The more you get, this is the net revenue that goes to the state. Of course, if you manage to negotiate 96% rate, you get most of the money. So it is a matter of, this is a good business. Let me get into it. And if for at 50% rate, there's about $225 million. If you, smart businessman, get 10% of the market, that's $2.25 million a year. That's good money. I would spend my vacation again in Egypt every year. This is, by the way, me and my family in Egypt last year. I would need that kind of income in order to... but I thought it's a cute picture. Now, the other way of looking at retailer compensation would be you don't really always get this $400 million that we were thinking about. You might, if it's the intercept of the slope, if you will, of the line, you start $100 million. The more you have marketing and retailers and venues to play, the higher the amount of revenue come in. And that continues going up and up and up until, of course, it starts leveling out in the rate of increase, but you still get benefit of more venues at retail. Now, the same kind of logic would go, I'd say, with that, net revenue actually increases with the higher the amounts of compensation, because you're giving them more incentive and therefore they're doing it harder, and everybody wins. That's the other opinion. Now, there's, of course, merit to both opinions, and, you know, for economists, when we put the two graphs together, economists are very big on intersection points. You know, when the two lines intersect, this is big business in economics. So if those are true, this intersection, you would find where the right rate, and bingo, you've maximized your profit, zero economic profit, everybody's happy, market's clear, and we're doing great. However, that hypothetical point is yet to be determined.
Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the video compensation, old and new rates, you used two terms, terminology. Death is what it is. You used the word average and you used the word blended rate. Can you just confirm to me that video compensation rates are basically like a tax bracket, right? The first 175,000 is one rate. From 175 to 475 is the second rate, and then anything over 475 is a third rate, hypothetically, because you use blended, which means something a little bit different. Is it like a tax bracket? Or does it retroactively go back and say if your sales exceed X dollars, you get 20% of X dollars, period?
No.
What is it?
Guess we have a fire alarm.
Permanent.
So please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this has been answered during the outside break, so we will continue. I think the way this would work is the first 175,000 will have this rate, and then those amounts would be with this rate, and over this would be this rate. And it blends all together in order to get to that point. At least that's the old rates I used to work. I could be yet still corrected. Now, back to the intersecting lines. I think we left off with economists think that there is a lot of value and information in these intersecting lines. And the last thing I would like to talk about is the last slide will be the lottery expense and percents. And this is, I've alluded to in earlier slides, when you have these amounts, if you will, the percentages of expenses for the lottery until the introduction of video. Then you would have traditional lottery still at about 16% or so. However, the expense for the video just drops, and this is where it brings the total in. So total expense becomes, because of the blend of the bigger part of the lottery, you would find it at a much lower level than if it was a traditional. That is my last slide, Mr. Chair, and I take any questions or turn it to Director Dale.
Thank you, Mr. Malik. Any questions from the committee? Everyone fully understands the lottery.
What are the numbers for this next drawing?
You'll have to take that up with the numbers in the next drawing. I'm not sure. So. All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Malik, for that. And now my understanding is Mr. Penn will answer all questions that were punted to him by Mr. Malik and also provide the committee with more information. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Dale Penn. I'm director of the lottery. and appreciate the opportunity to be here today. We have a brief presentation that we wanted to give to you, although I'm going to go over it on several of these portions very quickly because you've already been given some of the history and really what we might add, and then be happy to answer any questions you might have. We have a variety of things that we're going to talk about here, and I might go to the next slide there. Just to give you an overview, some of this is historical development but that's been shared, but I want to describe really what our budget process is and some issues that have been highlighted for you. So I might switch to our mission statement, which is really our guiding principle that we need to operate the lottery with the highest standards of integrity and security. That's a very important task that the public feels confident that the lottery is trustworthy and that games are done in a fair manner. So we take that as a very high priority for us. But to earn maximum profits for the people of Oregon commensurate with the public good. Those are high words and complicated words, and yet that is the charge that we have and what we've moved forward to try to fulfill. Our organizational structure, we have a five-person citizen commission. At the present time, we have four members of the commission. Two of the members are designated to have particular types of background. Because of that security function, one of the members must have experience in law enforcement. But also because we are a financial organization, one of the members must be a CPA. Right now, that is the one position that is open on the commission. As you know, the governor would nominate members of the commission, and they must stand before the Senate for confirmation. The director also is nominated by the governor and confirmed by the Senate. I have just been in that office since November. Senate confirmation hearings were in November. My experience, I know several of you, but my experience is that I was district attorney in this community for 20 years. And so I'm a lawyer, I'm a prosecutor, I've been involved in this process at the legislature for probably 20 years in a variety of different functions, and so that's my background. But then we have a state police lieutenant who is our assistant director for security. We have an assistant director who's here today for marketing because we are a sales organization. We have an assistant director involved in retail operations who is also present here today. And that's involved in sales out in the field, repairs, putting new equipment out, restocking supplies. That is a very big operation. Then we have an assistant director position for support services, facilities and statewide employees, personnel, IT, variety of different functions. But that's our organizational chart. Moving to constitutional changes, I'm not going to go over this because you've already heard about this process, other than to acknowledge for you that the Constitution states that the lottery is to operate as a self-supporting revenue-raising agency of state government. That becomes important as we talk about some of the other issues. You've already heard about how the Constitution and you as the legislature spend some of these dollars. The one thing I would note, you observe that the bond debt has, in the last few years, begun to increase. And that is one thing that I wasn't aware of, is that the lottery is actually the funding mechanism to bond for significant projects in the state of Oregon. And so right now we're in the process of selling bonds to dredge the Columbia River. And the lottery is the agency that is supplying the financial backing for those bonds. And we've had a variety of other projects besides all of the other things that you would hear about from lottery funds. Moving to game development, this just gives you real quickly the types of games that we have. And back at the beginning, it was scratch tickets and megabucks. And it has moved and changed over the years. And you see video lottery was added in 1992. Now move down to the last commission-initiated game. And it says line games with a question mark. That is a decision that the Lottery Commission would make next week. Next Wednesday, it is on their agenda just to decide should line games be added to the game mix for the Reagan Lottery. Quickly about the budget process. We do have a process. We have a zero budgeting process where we start from zero and build from there. We do look at what programs were initiated and new games and games that need assistance, just looking at the entire operation, and decide really from our strategic plan that is approved and given to us by the Lottery Commission, we will develop business plans, a marketing plan, a financial plan to implement those goals in our strategic plan. And each of those particular sections of the lottery will develop projects to implement their business plan, to further implement the strategic plan. We'll develop measurements for that. Then we will provide it to the governor's office for their financial review. Ultimately, all of this comes back to the Lottery Commission itself for final approval of their plans and really what our budget is for that year. So that's the process that we follow. We do that every year. We're just beginning that process now for the budget year beginning next July. If you look at expenses and revenue, again, I'm just going to quickly go over that because you've had a number of slides detailing this to you. Traditional games, the prize payout is about 64% on average, and you can see transfers to the state, about 19%, and then you see compensation for retailers, expenses, both overhead and unique to the game.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Finn, could you slide back one slide, or I guess transfers to the state on the previous one, you were listed as, I think, 18%. Can you define what transfers to the state are? And the reason I raise that question is Mr. Malik's presentation, his percentage number is slightly different than that, like 14 points different.
Yes. Mr. Chair and Representative Boquist, now, I don't recall if the number that he gave you was a blending of both of these or not. But, again, his discussion of net proceeds is very important because, remember, we're going to take prizes out of all sales. And then you remain with that net. And out of that net has to come overhead for the lottery as an organization. Then specific expenses for that game. In this situation, it may be line charges for megabucks. It may be the cost of printing tickets for scratchets. But you have those overhead expenses. You have some retailer compensation system for whatever game that is. And then what's left over is the transfers to the state, and that's the amount that you see on the traditional games. That's not video, and so that's how that's broken out.
A follow-on question, I'm just trying to understand because I think we're comparing apples and oranges. And I just speak to Mr. Penner, maybe Paul later to educate me on this. Because the 2003-2005 lottery distribution was $718 million against gross sales of roughly $17 billion over that same period, based on the information Mr. Malik gave us, which is about a 4% rate of return. And so I'm just trying to compare lottery distribution, that $718 million figure versus the 18% figure that you have. And I may be comparing apples and oranges, and we may need to to just get an answer later, Mr.
Yeah.
Chair, when I can actually show the two slides to.
Yeah. Let me move to the next slide, Mr. Chair and Representative Boquist, because I think it will help answer that question. Because you see, once video comes into play, video dwarfs hugely the rest of the games in lottery. And so you see the payouts are prize payouts about 93%. What isn't shown to you is this pie is maybe 10 times larger in circumference than the pie for the traditional lottery. So even though these percentages of expenses and transfers to the state are much smaller, you see the numbers themselves are much larger. So this transfer to the state here is a 3.7% figure, but it's $292 million. Whereas on the traditional lottery, it's a 18% figure. And I'm going to have to guess off the top of my head, but it is closer to the 50 to 60 million range. And so I think it just illustrates that, and we can see that in some of the graphs that you've already seen, is that video production is much, much larger than the traditional game production.
Mr. Chair.
Vice Chair Berger.
If I may interject here, boy, you're fast with numbers, Representative Boquist. But I would note that the slides here are with regard to '04 and Mr. Malik's with a biennium. You 2 years in one. Do you see what I'm saying?
I understand, Representative Berger, percentages don't change.
You were talking about percentages, not total dollars. I was looking at dollars, you're looking at percentages.
Right, I converted the dollars to percentages.
Yeah, well, you're very fast.
And I'm still confused, but we'll just go on, Mr. Chair, and I'll get a remedial training from Paul.
And obviously, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, we'd be happy to provide further information and answer very precise questions. I'm sure we can provide that information to you. Now, with this overview of traditional and video product and how dollars are spent in those products, it's important to remember the point that I made before, that the lottery must operate as a self-supporting revenue-raising agency of state government, and no appropriations, no loans, or other transfers of state funds shall be made to it. So that means that we have to pay our bills up front, and we have to support ourselves with the revenues that we receive. So the mechanism that we use to accomplish that is a contingency reserve fund. It is established by the Lottery Commission. And one point to bring up here, because we're asked about it, is about $95 million. So what is all this $95 million? You'll see that immediately $52 million of that $95 is equipment, property, buildings, that type of thing. $43 million is cash. About $20 million is needed on hand to pay our expenses, pay payrolls, to keep that process moving along. We project forward out of that $95 million reserve, which $43 million is cash, that we have, in effect, a contingency for problems or unforeseen issues of $23 million. We will roll that forward to use in next year's operation if we end up with that, but that truly is a contingency to pay upfront expenses that we have. For instance, if we're going to purchase a machine, we cannot have manufacturers, they will not manufacture us a video machine unless we have the money deposited ahead of time. Because since we're a state government, and at any time state government can say we don't have the funds to pay this, they don't want to manufacture something very specific like a gambling machine and not have it purchased. So we have to front our purchases in this business. Moving to the next slide, and just to highlight for you some of the issues that we run into, capital requirements for this next biennium, we anticipate is somewhere around $63 million, and that's where that $23 million would roll into this figure. We need to replace about 4,500 video machines. We have, and we anticipate that will cost us $56 million to do that. We have 2,000 video machines right now that are over 10 years old that are not supported in any way. We can't even buy parts for them. So we have to cannibalize other machines to be able to keep them operational. It's just something that we can't continue to do. We need to move and replace those machines. We have another 2,500 machines that the software is no longer supported because they are in excess of 10 years old. And so it's just an example of the need to keep this network, which produces a lot of revenue, $300 million a year to the state in transfers. We need to keep it operational. $7 million we see as some needs for routers and game chips in that system, and to keep this rather extensive IT network that hooks all of these machines together operational. So that gives you a quick overview of some of the capital needs that we have and the process that we would follow to try to keep this network producing dollars for the state. I'll quickly move to the next one, and I'm about done on our overview. Audits at different times have become an issue for the lottery, and so we want to let you know what our situation is on audits. We just completed the last Secretary of State audit on our financial condition and processes, and we have no material findings both in 2003 and 2004. We've had security reviews, and we're very proud that we meet or exceed best practices of U.S. lotteries on all of our procedures. We do have a full staff of auditors that are constantly looking at our different procedures that we use, and we have a audit committee that is part of the Lottery Commission with two commissioners assigned to it to overview this audit process. Lastly, let me talk about forecast. I anticipate that you'll have some questions about that, so maybe that's why I have a slide just on this. In the governor's budget, there is a statement that the governor expects or requests $933 million in transfers this biennium. Now, I want to highlight for you one change that I would make on page 7 of the earlier handout that you received was lottery transfers, and it was a historical overview of lottery transfers. And in 2001-2003, you had about, and I don't know the exact number here, about $720 million was that bar graph there. The next one, 2003-05, was a little below that, and it was right around the $700 million range. In actuality, that was based on an old forecast number. It's not an accurate number. What we are going to transfer in this biennium, 2003-2005, is $770 million, so that bar will be a little bit higher than the bar from the past biennium. And then you see the bar for the proposal of $933 million. Now, the reason that's important is that the $120 million for the addition of line games is in that $933 million. So let's take that out just for a moment for talking about this forecast. Because then you see the difference between the $770 million that we transfer this biennium and the projection is basically about a 5.4% projection of increase in between the two bienniums. And that is the number that staff has decided in looking at the economy that that's an appropriate growth number for lottery products. and that's primarily in the video lottery market. Okay. Now, what? So I think that's a reasonable forecast. It's attainable. It's appropriate. It's based on history. And it is not some huge increase that just doesn't seem appropriate. Now, the $120 million figure, let me address that for a little bit. And we've established here, tried to put down here, some of the reasoning, but it is a figure that was developed from looking at other jurisdictions that had line games, and we had a range of, in comparing those other jurisdictions, from $46 million to $168 million in that biennium. What was put into the governor's budget was $120 million as a goal, both by increasing other games and capabilities within the lottery itself, and adding line games, which obviously would be the lion's share of obtaining that $120 million, but is a combination of efforts that we would make. The $120 million is established or as the goal. Now, I gave you one little analysis here. If we look at the, unfortunately, we do not have a state or another jurisdiction that we can go to and say they are just like Oregon and they added line games and they had this percentage increase. That model doesn't exist for us. If we look at West Virginia, they don't really look like a state that's similar to us because they have a casino operation that is run by the state. They have a variety of other types of games. But they also do have a retailer network of video games in the community, very similar to ours. And so what we did was we just said, let's just take your retailer network with video products. Let's look at what are the sales per capita in West Virginia with line games. And then we compared it to our network with sales and income available in the state of Oregon for this product. And in comparing them, you will see that there is a 17% higher rate in West Virginia than there is in Oregon. And that just to us perhaps established that's as far as we think you could go with this new product. It helps define what's the outer limits. If we increase sales just because of line games by 11% in this biennium, we will obtain the $120 million that is identified in the governor's budget if those increased sales are reserved for the state. So I believe it is an attainable goal. It is a goal for us. I think in looking at other jurisdictions and looking at West Virginia as kind of an outside growth pattern, the $120 million is something that we can do. The commission has not voted to implement line games, and so I don't want to get too far ahead of this. So they make a decision next Wednesday, and it's only if they vote yes that then we go into the next stage, and that is how do we produce this product, how quickly can we get it operational. Obviously, the goal would be July 3rd, which is the beginning of the business year, so that you have a full biennium. What games can we put out there? How do we deal with commission rates with the retailer network? All of those issues would really become important and a timeline of February and March for those discussions. But that's a quick overview and try to respond a little bit to some of the information that came forward. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Oh, let me go to my last slide. I almost forgot the most important thing here. This is our 20th anniversary as the lottery. And in those 20 years, there has been $4 billion transferred to help economic development, support public schools, help state parks and rebuild watersheds, and help fund problem gambling treatment. We think that is an outstanding record. The interesting thing to note is if we do continue proceeding in growth as we have in the past, this $4 billion transferred in 20 years will very quickly become $1 billion every biennium. So that just shows how the video product and the growth of the lottery in that 20 years has changed. I don't know if 20 years ago the people sitting around in the Lottery Commission envisioned that this could be producing $1 billion every biennium for state government. But we are right at that stage. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. I appreciate your attention.
Yes,
thank you, Director Penn. Representative Haas?
Thank you. I seem to recall when the measure first passed that there was 50% in prizes, 34% to the state, 16% administration. Are those numbers still relevant?
Mr. Chair and Representative Haas, those were minimums in the Constitution, and so no more than 16% for expense. Pay at least 50% for prizes, and so they were kind of the minimal standards, and those have been our guidelines. Now, the real issue about prize payout is that to make money, you have to have games that people want to play, and prize payouts become very important in that. So when you look at the video product, you see that we started at an 89% prize payout amount, although whenever I played those games in Reno or someplace, I never quite won 89%, I don't think. But that was somewhat of the standard, and you can see that that has moved up. And the standard now, as we look at new games, is around 92%. What has happened in our payouts is that we have only poker games right now. We have a variety of poker games. There is one poker game that pays out a little bit more than the others. And guess which one is the most popular? That is hugely the single game that players move to. And so that has driven our prize payout a little bit higher. And yet, I can't reemphasize that as you increase the popularity of the game, even if your net is a smaller percentage, as that pie continues to grow out, which is what has happened in video lottery, those dollars continue to increase, and so that transfer curve or bar graph continues going up like this. And that's why it has happened.
Well, if I could, Mr. Chair, on the other side of the ledger, expenses.
Yeah.
You have the 16% threshold, and I've just been curious what, you know, the state policy is when you spend less than that, because I know, especially during the special sessions, there have been some unusual special transfers from the lottery that were just sort of gifts from God, and nobody really understood why they were there, why we didn't do this before, or
yeah.
How that worked.
Yes. Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Haas, one of the difficulties is that you can, as I mentioned, the lottery is a self-supporting fund. And so you can go into the lottery one time and say, we are not going to do this project needs to be done. That's why when I talk about these machines that are 10 years old and now, we can't, not only is the software not supported, but we can't even buy parts for it. That is some of the payment that happens. So we say, okay, for one time, we can give X amount of dollars to state, and we can still keep this going, but at some point you have to go in and replace those machines. I think those are some of the decisions that have had to take place in the last couple of sessions.
Representative Olson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Mr. Penn, I'm just curious, just referring to the last bullet down there, fund problem gambling treatment.
Yeah.
What is the percentage that we just, you know, you were involved in?
Yes. Mr. Chair and Representative Olson, The legislature actually passed a statute, I believe in 1995, saying that 1%, and I think that was on one of your slides, 1% of the proceeds should be dedicated to problem gambling treatment. Now, in my slide, I did note that there hasn't always been a 1% allocation or appropriation, I guess is the appropriate word to use, of those dollars. You will receive, each of you will receive a letter from the Lottery Commission, and we're sending one to the governor as well, urging you to look at dedicating that 1% from the transfers that we provide to you. But that will be an issue that I think you'll see dealt with in the session. The reason the commission wrote the letter is that we heard from, and we have nothing to do with the treatment. We simply bring the money, and the Department of Human Resources provides the treatment. We have heard that they are at the point where they need to have all of those dollars appropriated to deal with issues and people requesting treatment. So I think that's an issue you'll see in the session.
I just have another follow-up.
Sure.
Since we're moving into line games, too, that you're considering, has the commissioners done some research or studying nationwide as to what the impact might be toward that thought, that concept toward line games?
Yeah, so Mr. Chair and Representative Olson, yeah, that will be an issue that we'll have testimony on at their meeting next Wednesday. One of the things about Oregon, I think it has a very good record of watching and making efforts to deal with problem gambling. And I don't know that other states or other jurisdictions can match our record. Not only the legislative mandate to dedicate treatment dollars, but in the lottery itself, we have always tried to look at what is the impact in particular games that we could offer or the particular manner in which that game is provided. Well, there are choices that can be made. And we try to look at what is the impact on the problem gambler. We also dedicate some funds on research of problem gambling, as well as you will see public presentations. You'll see them in newspaper ads and television ads about a particular one that is showing right now is a person playing pinball, saying, you know, when this doesn't become a game, it's a problem, and giving the 1-800 number to seek treatment and help. And so we are trying to give that message out. So I think our record is very strong in dealing with problem gambling. Obviously, when you increase games, you would expect we will see some new people who have not been involved in poker games but maybe attracted to line games. A certain percentage will have a problem with that, and so we want to make sure we try to address it.
Good. Thank you.
Representative Boquist?
Mr. Chair, I have two questions. So indulge me. The first question is does Mr. Penn feel that the lottery has the experience or can give us some example of experience of the lottery being able to launch a billion-dollar sales, could gross $1 billion in the next biennium in order to meet $120 million in additional revenue from line sales, which is in the governor's budget, I remind the committee members. What kind of experience does a lottery have in less than 4 months, being a state entity, launching a brand-new program that's going to generate $1 billion in sales over the next few years? Do you feel comfortable with more than comfortable. What kind of experience do you have in doing that?
Yeah.
Thank you, Representative.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Boquist, it's not $1 billion because, remember, this biennium we transferred $770 million. And that is higher than the last. That's continued to increase each biennium. But it is $120 million additional dollars. And that, when you add that together with what we're projected, it starts coming very close to $1 billion in the biennium for all games. Okay.
Can I follow on?
Sure.
What I'm saying is, you gave us an 11% rate of return, basically, is what you're saying. And that, I know there's some little apples and oranges, $120 million. But what we're saying with 11% rate of return is you're going to have $1 billion in new sales in the next 2 years, and you're going to launch a an acquisition marketing program, the whole kit and caboodle in the next 4 months to get us $1 billion in extra sales. And I'm in business. I can't do it. So I'm just kind of wondering why. Are you comfortable that you can really do this?
And Mr. Chair and Representative Boquist, yes. Now we are producing to about $9 billion in sales. And so we are talking about a one-ninth increase here is in our sales figures. It is a challenge, and there is no question it will be a challenge to the organization. We've already begun working on it. Obviously, if the commission votes on Wednesday, no, don't do this, we'll stand down. But for us to have any capability to be operational July 3rd, we've had to start looking at this. And so last week we tested some games in the Portland area, line games that we could put on our machines right now, that we can get out into the field by July 3rd and be operational. So obviously the results of that research will be very important to us. We are hopeful that the games that we have access to for our machines right now will be popular. And what that result is obviously would be very important. But we are confident that we can have the game in the field July 3rd, that we can have a marketing campaign available in the field very close to that rollout of July 3rd. And we're comfortable with the idea that 11% increase in sales, we do believe that is attainable. Now, there are some conditions there. We need to have a retailer network that is behind us and is signed up to do this and is enthusiastic about it. And so that's been a challenge in the environment that we're in right now. And but those are issues we're going to have to deal with in the next 2 or 3 months after Wednesday, depending on the vote.
My second question, Representative. Could you expand a little bit on the West Virginia, the similarities of West Virginia? You're not privy to this, but in our training and education, the committee saw the state forecast showed a 5% decrease, a continuing slide of 5% over the last forecast of consumers spending money on entertainment, so on and so forth. Like, so we're going down like this. And we are the highest in unemployment. We have all these economic problems here. I mean, what besides, and I know West Virginia is 17 points versus your 11 points, what other common characteristics are you using West Virginia or another model gives you a confidence that we're going to have to basically climb up 16 points to get to the 11 percentage points?
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair and Representative Boquist, West Virginia is only a state that we can use because they have a retailer network similar to ours. And the only difference between those two networks is their network has line games, ours does not. When we look at every other jurisdiction that has line games, what we are told is that even those jurisdictions that started out with poker and line games together, ultimately their jurisdiction becomes a line games product, 90% or higher, because it is a more popular game. So I don't think anyone, and I haven't had anyone suggest to me that line games as a product will not be more popular than the product we have now. I think everyone agrees it will be more popular, there will be an increase. The problem is, how can you attach a number? And that's why we look at what has occurred, and people will put all kinds of estimates out there. But when you look at it as a 10 or 11% increase because of line games only, that is something that is within the ballpark of if we are aggressive in getting good games, in putting the message out there in a manner that the public is aware of it and tries it, we believe that that's obtainable. But West Virginia, as a system, it's the only one that has a retailer network similar to ours. And when you look at the amount of amount of income available, and then what is actually spent on their network in West Virginia, the amount of income available in Oregon, and the amount that is spent on our network, you see a 17% higher rate spent on their games than on ours. And we don't think that we're going to do 17%. We just think that's probably as far as you can go with any reasonable likelihood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions? Representative Trump.
My question to Director Penn is, do you have your strategic plan online, or is there some place that we can go to look at how, your action steps and how you're going to accomplish all this?
Mr. Chair and Representative Comp, now on the issue of line games,
no,
or
in
overall?
In one of your slides, you shared that you had a strategic plan developed, and I would hope that that's where you'd have the, you know, your vision stated, that how you're going to reach all these wonderful goals.
We do have that plan. We have a handout for you which shows our business plan and some other information, and that strategic statement is the beginning of that, and we can give that to you if it hasn't been handed to you yet, but I can leave that with you. And I don't know if it's on our website. I'll have to check and see. Okay. There isn't any reason why it couldn't be.
Right. Thank you.
Mr. Warner's just explained that it's on this larger handout.
All
that
the oh, in this
the one you probably haven't had a chance to go through.
Yes. Okay.
So, and I can see from the nods in the back of you that it's not on the website.
Okay.
Right? Is that a correct statement? All right. So. Other questions? Great. Well, Director Penn, thank you very much, Mr. Malik, and appreciate all the information on the lottery. And look forward to working with you further, and we'll adjourn for today.
Oh, I can just say a few scheduling comments, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely, Ms. Warner.
We do have school finance tomorrow to go through in your orientation, and then to remind you on Friday that Lottery will be your host for Friday afternoon to go out and visit the facility there from 1 till about 3 o'clock. So that will be in lieu of your committee meeting, and this is the chair's direction to have Friday afternoons to spend in the field, and that will be your first one, will be this coming Friday. Next week, we will post the schedule. I met with the chair before the meeting. You have the Department of Revenue will be here on Monday to go through compliance and administration issues with you to give you an overview. We have a series of proposals in that area to look at. We do have one more dose of orientation on the corporate income tax. Elizabeth will go through that with you on Tuesday. Wednesday, we have the state economist will be here and talk about kind of the economic structure and the forecasting process that's used. And Thursday, we will have some House revenue bills for you to start working. So, one other follow-up, I did talk with the assessors, and on actually the week after, on Groundhog's Day, we'll have a panel of assessors to kind of address some of the property tax issues for you. Vice Chair Berg.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Paul, I've never been on a field trip with the Revenue Committee. Do we meet here and drive out? Do we?
Yeah, permission slip.
I want to know. Where do I go and how do I get there? Is there an?
You're the Salem rep here.
You know, and I've never been to the lottery. Do we drive out there on our own?
We will have word to you on that. We'll get word to you certainly by tomorrow's meeting and to your offices. I'll talk with the chair about that. We have a couple of options. We can get a van and take the committee out, or we can just meet there, given that it isn't a long ways. We do have next Friday we'll be going to OLCC, and then we'll definitely get some transportation for you to go up to Hawaii.
Thank you.
But we'll get word to you on that.
Thank you.
Any questions? All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.